Recording. Okay, let me get the Gemara. Now, tonight's daf is sponsored by Barry Rubin on the occasion of the yahrzeit of both his mother and his sister, who have the same yahrzeit date, So, let me get the names out. So it's Lilui Neshama of Rachel Bat Binyamin and Asna Bat Yosef, Zichronam Levracha. Okay, sponsored by Barry Rubin. Okay, his mother and his sister. All right, let's take a look. We're on Memhei today. Memhei, let's go to Memhei. So I'll begin around eight lines from the top at the two dots. Everybody with me? So let's go over the Mishnah on Memdal and Membeis again. So just refresh everybody's recollection. So go back to Memdal and Membeis, look in the Mishnah on 544b. So Manita Misha Tzabar Shud. Now we said that even though you're not allowed to leave Tchum, you have 2,000 Amot, you could walk on Shabbos, but there are people that got like a free pass, Al Pi Halacha, to leave that Tchum. And Tchumen are Drabanan, so the Chamin gave a pass for certain people. So the people they gave a pass to, if you're an aide and you saw the new moon, so you have a pass to appear before the Bezdin. And then if people are involved with saving lives, so they gave them a pass. Let's say if you're a midwife to help a woman give birth, or you're saving somebody from a collapsed building, things like that, and an army that's, going to, protect the Jewish people. So they all got a pass from the Tchum Shabbos. So Manita Misha Tzabar Shut V'amru Lo Kvarna Sama said, let's say the person or people, they had permission to leave Tchum, and then people said, we don't need you anymore. Whatever's done is done already. Yesh Lo Pai Ma L'Chol Ruach. So he has, Al Pai Ma L'Chol Ruach, he has, in other words, let's say he left the Tchum, so he still has 2,000 amot. In other words, normally when you leave your tchum, you have dalet amot. So they gave him 2,000 amot for people who had left licitly. He says, imayaba tocha tchum kin lo yatsa. So we discussed this line yesterday, and the pshat that the Gemara liked was Rav Sim Bar Chiya's pshat, which meant that if the tchumim overlapped, he could go back. Remember, he had overlapping tchumim. He says, now, kol yotzim lahatzil chozim l'mekomon. Whoever left to save can go back to their place. That's the part we're going to discuss tonight. So let's see Memhei Amud Aleph around the eighth line. Kol yotzim lahatzil chozim l'mekomon. Whoever went to save people can go back to the original spot. So the Gemara says, v'afilu tuva, you mean even if they, it sounds like l'chora, they get to go back home. In other words, even if the home is 10,000 amud away, they get to go back home. That's the way it sounds like. So this is Vavilu Tuva, Vamrit Resha, Alpai Mama. You send the Resha that they get 2,000 Amot. They don't get to go, all over the place. So, but too low. So Amar Avira Marav, Shechozrin B'chlei Zayin L'Mekoman. So Rav says, the Pshat is, if they're soldiers and they left carrying weapons because they're going to war, they still have a heter to carry those weapons home and bring the weapons all the way home on Shabbos. That's what Rav said to the Rav. That's the pshat. So v'chol yotzim lahatzil chozrin l'mekoman means they get not that they get to walk more than the 2,000 amot, but whatever their place is, they get to bring their weapons there. So the Gemara says, umay kusha, why did we have a question to begin with? What's so difficult about giving a pshat in that line in the Mishnah? Dilma lahatzil shani. Maybe we could say a different pshat in the Mishnah. Maybe we could say there are a whole list of people who get to leave the Tchum on Shabbos. And, it could be like the Edom get to leave the Tchum on Shabbos. The midwife gets to leave the Tchum on Shabbos. The people who are saving people from a fire get to leave the Tchum on Shabbos. And soldiers get to leave the Tchum on Shabbos. So maybe the Mishnah is saying that if the soldiers that they left, they get a special, even more of a dispensation, that they get to go all the way back home. Maybe that's the pshat. He says, "Maikrusha dim lahatzil shani." So the Gemara says, so in other words, if I'm just looking at our Mishnah, what's causing Rav Yehuda in the name of Rav to say that line of the Mishnah means they get to carry their weapons to their makom? Why can't the pshat be they get to go all the way home, like we thought initially? And as far as 2,000 amot is concerned, that's for everybody else. And they get whatever they need. Maybe that's the pshat. So the Gemara says, Eli kasha ha kasha. If we just look at the Mishnah, you're right, that's the way we think. But if there was a question, the question is as follows. Did not, because there's another Mishnah, Masechet Rosh Hashanah, and we're going to compare the two Mishnayot, and based on the comparison of the two Mishnayot, then Rav Yudan and Rav will arrive at the conclusion that the pshat is that they can carry their weapons. He says, the Mishnah says, Rishon lo yuzasim yisham kol yom kulo. So initially, if the Edom would, you know, leave their tchum, you know, to testify in Beis Din, so they then they were stuck to their dalet amot, not quite an incentive to go show up and testify in a situation like that. So he says Hitkin Rabbi Gamliel Zakein Shishlamo Paim Amal Luchol Ruach. So Rabbi Gamliel Zakein made a takana that Edim who show up, they get more than dalet amot. They get 2,000 amot in every direction. So that's not so bad. He says Velo Elu Bilvadamru, and not only the Edim Elafilu Chachama Habal Lialeid, even a midwife who's coming to assist in delivery, she also gets 2,000 amot. He says, even though she's left her original tchum, he says, "V'habala hatzil min hagayas," and soldiers who are coming to save people from a marauding non-Jewish army, he says, "Umin ha-nahar, umin ha-polit," or people who are saving, you know, other people from, you know, drowning or from a collapsed building, umin ha-dleika, or from a fire. He says, "Harehin kan shei ha'ir v'yishlam pa'im amal l'chol ruach." They're like the people in that city that they go to at their destination, and they have alpayim ama in every direction. He says, so now when we compare these two mishnayot, that's going to be like the fly in the ointment. In other words, so this mishnah makes it clear that everybody just gets 2,000 amot. So that other pshat that we were giving, that maybe the soldiers get, you know, whatever they need, it doesn't seem to fly. He says, it says but too low, so they don't get more than 2,000 amot. But Amri kol yotzin lahatzil chozer l'mekoman afi l'tuva. But in our mishnah, we said that they get to be chozer l'mekoman. It sounds like they get to go home. So maybe home is 5 miles away. They get to go home. So the Gemara says, so now concerning that contradiction, now we understand the statement of Rabbi Yehuda. Amar Rabbi Yehuda bar Rav shechozer b'klei zayin l'mekoman. It means when it says that the kol yotzin lahatzil chozer l'mekoman means wherever their makom is, but it's only 2,000 amot. But they get to carry their weapons with them. That's what they're saying. They get to carry their weapons with them. All right. Now, Kitatanya, like we learn in the Braisa, Brishonu Manichim Kleizana Babaita Samuch Lachoma. Initially, when soldiers would go out, so they would go back 2,000 amot, and they would put their weapons in the house that was nearest the wall of the city, whatever. He says, Pamachad Hikur Ben Oivim, Ravhua Harihem. Once, like the Goyim, you know, detected them and they pursued them, the Jews. But Hasuli told Klei Zainan, the Jews went to get their weapons to retrieve them. And the Goyim were following them. He says, he says the Jews were like pressing against one another. They ended up killing each other more, like from the, you know, rushing here, there, and the other place. So from that point forward, I mean, it's a kind of, that if you go to war and you carry your weapon with you, you get to carry your weapon all the way back home. All the way back home is what they said. All right, now, so let's go slowly with this. So the difficulty we had was this line in the Mishnah that said that that kol yotzin lahatzil chozrin lemekoman. What does it mean, chozrin lemekoman? It sounds like they're working more than 2,000 amot. We said you only get 2,000 amot. In other words, normally you believe terchum, you get dalet amot. These people get 2,000 amot, but not more than 2,000 amot. So it doesn't mean chosen and koman. So the Gemara ends up saying, based on the comparison with the other Mishnah Masechet Rosh Hashanah, that indeed they only get 2,000 amot, but they get to take their weapons with them. All right, whose request comes to authenticate this?
So they can't take their weapons back home. They get 2,000 amot.
Right, according to the shot that we're learning here, right. That's correct. Yeah. Okay, everybody good? Okay, let's see further.
Why do we think that it's more than 2,000 amot back home for them?
No. We're trying to understand the line in the Mishnah. The Mishnah says, "V'chol hayotzim lahatzil chozrin lemekoman." Whoever goes out to save gets to go back to their makom. So right. What do those words mean? We already said they got 2,000 amot. So what does that line in the Mishnah mean? That's a question. What does it mean?
Right.
So the Gemara thought. So we said they get to go back with their weapons. So the Gemara said, why can't the Peshat in the Mishnah be that they get more than 2,000 amot? So the Gemara says, we learned the other Mishnah in Masechet Rosh Hashanah makes it clear they only get 2,000 amot. So that's why Rabbi Yehuda ben Rav says it means that they get to take their weapons.
Let's go home with their weapons.
Okay. All right. What?
Not home. They get 2,000 amot back.
Right.
They cannot go home.
Right. Right. Okay.
Understand why you can't go home if you can go 2,000 amot and you're 2,000 amot from home.
No, it means you're 10,000 amot from home. That's what it means. So you can't go back home. That's what we're saying.
Right. Like a solo guys. Let's say a solo guys.
All right. All right, let me move on. Everybody mute themselves now. Okay, now, Rav Nachman Yitzchak Amar. Rav Nachman Yitzchak has a different shot, which is really going to use like the previous idea we had. He says, lo kasha, there's no kasha between two Mishnah. We had one Mishnah, Masechet Rosh Hashanah, which says you're limited to 2,000 Amot. And our Mishnah says, Chozen Makoman, he's going to learn Pshuto Kamashma'o, that indeed they could go all the way home, whatever it needs. He says, Kanshnitzhu Yisrael Umot HaOlam, that when the Jews were victorious in battle, so then the soldiers only get 2,000 Amot. There's no pressing need that they get to go home or whatever, anything like that. Kanshnitzhu Umot HaOlam in Aswan. Here, with the Goyim means they defeated the Jews. It doesn't want the Goyim doesn't say they defeated the Jews, they defeated themselves. But they defeated the Jews. So they defeated the Jews, so the Jewish soldiers need to get refuge wherever they need to go. So the home, if that's what they need for refuge, they get to go there. So that's the second shot in the Mishnah. So the second shot in the Mishnah means sometimes soldiers get 2,000 Amot, sometimes they get more than 2,000 Amot. So Amar Rav Yudah Marav, Nachrim Saruai wrote in Yisrael, Yotzen Leim B'Klei Zainan, he says, when Goyim have besieged Jewish towns, so the Jews can't meet them with weapons. The Gemara is going to explain it means that the Goyim are only coming to seize property, not to hurt people. He says, "V'ei mechalin on the Shabbat. There can't be mechal Shabbos." Tani nami hachi nakrum shesaru b'chulei, but men remurim shabal iskei mamon. That the Goyim are only coming for property reasons. They want to seize Jewish property, so you don't have a heter to take your weapons and to be mechal Shabbos in those circumstances. Aval baal iskei nefashot. But if the Goyim are threatening Jewish lives, so Yotzin Alein B'Klei Zeinan Mechalin HaShabbat, then you can go with your weapons, Mechal Shabbos. And then the Brisa continues, of Ir HaSmucha L'Safar, if it's a Jewish town that's near the border, he says, Afilu Lo Ba'u Al Iskei Nefashot, El Iskei Tevin Bakash, even if the Goyim are only, they're not seeking to harm Jewish lives, but they're just seeking like straw. So it's just money, but you know, even if it's you know minor money, but if it's a border town, Yotzen Leim B'Klei Zeinan Mechalin HaShabbat. Then we can Mechal Shabbos because if the Goyim, if they occupy the border town, that's the entranceway to where the Jews live. And this is border town; it means like where the Jewish enclave is, where Jews hang out. So that's bad news. So Amar Rav Yosef Bar Menuhin Amar Rav Nachman. Ubavel kira smucha l'sfardam. Babel means in Babel. In Babel is a region. In Babel, there's a town which is close to the border with Targum and Neredah. The Gemara says the town of Neredah. Neredah was like near Goyim on one side, near Jews on the other side. So if the Goyim would threaten Neredah, so that's indeed is a threat. So again, so let's just summarize. So the Gemara is saying a different shot in the Mishnah. So a different shot in the Mishnah is the soldiers are allowed to go all the way back home. That's when the Goyim have defeated the Jews in battle. So then there's a need for them to go back home, maybe to save themselves or whatever. Then they can go even more than 2,000 Amot. When the Jews are victorious, they can only go 2,000 Amot. And then we saw that the Brisa mentioned that a Jewish army is not allowed to be Mechal Shabbos and take weapons if Jews are only threatened with property loss. If their lives are threatened, then they can go out with weapons and be Mechal Shabbos. And then we said, though, but if the Goyim are threatening a border town, even if they're only threatening for property reasons, then it could still be Mechal Shabbos because if the Goyim are occupying the border town, everybody else is going to be threatened with their lives because they'll hold it. Now, let me just do another 8 lines and then we'll take a pause. We'll take some questions. So the Gemara says, Darsh Rav Dostai Dmin Biri. So now he's going to learn a drasha to teach you about the importance of a border town. He says, My Dethiv, by Yehuda David Lemur, Hine Plishtim Lechamim B'Ki'ilah, V'Him Shosim Et Agoranot. What does the Pasuk mean? They told David, the Plishtim are fighting in Ki'ilah. Ki'ilah is a town, Jewish town, and they're plundering the Garanot, the threshing floors. He says, Tana, Ki'ilah Yir Hasmuch L'Safaraita. Ki'ilah was a border town. He says, V'Him Lobau El Iske Tevin Makash. The Goyim, the Plishtim in this case, are only covering for Tevin Makash, like for straw. It means, you know, for property reasons. He says, Dechtiv, V'Him Shosim in a Garanot. It says that they're plundering the Garanot, the threshing floors. Uchtiv, V'Shal David B'Hashem Limor, Elech V'Yiketiv B'Plishtim Ha'ele. So David asked Hashem through the Urim Tumim, should I attack the Plishtim? V'Yom Rishom David, Lech V'Yiketiv B'Plishtim, V'Oshia Ki'ilah. Go fight with them and you'll save the town of Ki'ilah. So the Gemara says, So what was he asking? If he was asking, am I permitted to go to battle with them? Now, Ray Rashi takes it that this was on Shabbos. So if he had a question, am I allowed to do battle with the Plishtim on Shabbos? It's a border town and they're only threatening them with money, which is what our topic is. that would, so if that was David's question, Hare Beit Dino Shel Shmuel Ramatikayam. So Shmuel's around and his Bezdin are around. Why don't you consult them? Don't ask the Urim Tumim that question. You have a Bezdin. So Ella Imaslach Yilo Matzlach. So he was asking the Urim Tumim to see whether he'd be successful in battle or not. So you could deduce from it, because the answer is go attack the Plishtim and you'll save Ki'ila, means you'll be successful. So Shmamina, from here we can learn. Now, it's not 100% correct, certain. How do you see the Raya from here? So I said that if you look in the Rashi, it's around 8 lines above where it gets wide, above where it gets wide. Ishari Yasur v'Shabbat Haita. Rashi says it was on Shabbos. So the way Rashi learns, the Gemara doesn't say foolish that it was Shabbos, but the way Rashi learns it was on Shabbos. And Mamela, and the Gemara does say you'd have to ask the Bezdin of Shmuel. So like, it's like sort of around the topic. Are you allowed to go to battle? So that's the way he takes it. Now, Tosfos takes it that Tosfos takes it wasn't on Shabbos, but they were having a battle concerning Tevin Bakash. So he takes it that you'd also be allowed to be Mechal Shabbos for it. In other words, if you can go to battle for it, you'd also be allowed to be Mechal Shabbos for it. Okay, let's just summarize the Gemara, and then we'll take questions, comments, and thoughts. Okay, so the basic idea in the Gemara, we were asking the Pshat in the Mishnah. The Mishnah says that V'chozrin l'mekoman, that V'chol ha'yotzim l'hatzil, what's the language? He says, it's V'chol ha'yotzim l'hatzil chozrin l'mekoman. Whoever went out to save people, they can go back to their place. So what does that mean? So the Gemara entertained in the end two pshatim. Either, so the Gemara, the Mishnah says, our Mishnah says you get 2,000 amot. So what do you mean chozrin l'mekoman? So either the pshat is they get to take their weapons back to their place, in other words, wherever their place is, but within 2,000 amot. Or the pshat is that sometimes Jewish soldiers are allowed to go back to their home, even though it's more than 2,000 amot, if they've been defeated in battle. So there's a concern that the goyim are pursuing them and they have to seek safety and they can go back to their home. Let me see. There's a Rashi here. Let me find the Rashi. One second. Yeah, if you look at Rashi, it's the Rashi Dilma Lahatzil Shani. So Rashi says, "Avalabala Hatzil Mei Oivim Yeshachu Shema Oivim Yer Defuach Rav Ilcha Chafilu Tufa Nami Nechnesu Leir." So even if it's more than that, they have to, you know, get refuge wherever they need to get refuge. And then the Gemara said that when it comes to a Jewish army, so if it's only people threatened with their property, they're not allowed to be Mechal Shabbos. But if it's a border town like Ki'ila, then they're allowed, even if it's only property that's threatened, they're allowed to, because it could lead to future problems down the way. Let's see, there's another Rashi on that as well. Let's take a look. Let me take a look. Yeah, if you look at Rashi, La Safar, it's around 15 lines above where it gets wide. Once they have their border town, so then it'll be easy for the goyim to attack the whole Jewish community, and then people's lives will be in danger. Okay, who's got questions, comments, thoughts on anything I did? Very quiet group here. All right, everybody okay? All right. Yeah, what's up? I see a hand here. Malcolm, I used to get a scalp. Now I just get a hand intermittently. Okay. All right. I think she's saying hello. Not that she's asking a question. All right. You have a question. Malcolm, wait. Scream, Malcolm. It's hard to hear. You got to, what do you got?
The whole concept that nurses or doctors or religious ones here, and even if like you're in a hospital and you can't, and you're being discharged right, maybe not Shabbat day, but right before Shabbat, that you're allowed to go home. You're allowed to take a cab by a non-Jew to drive you home. How does that relate to this concept of the tum and everything else?
Yeah. So I don't know if it's so pashut. Like you're saying that. Let me look more into this, Malka. I don't think it's so pashut that you could, if you're discharged right before Shabbos, that you get to drive in a cab on Shabbos. All right. Well, but this is a sugya that is quoted. This is a sugya that is quoted vis-a-vis doctors, but it's not so pashut. All right. What do you want to say, Aaron Moshe?
I was going to say Hatzalah guys, from Hatzalah guys that take someone on Shabbos, right. hospital in Yenemsfeld, wherever it is.
Yeah.
Once they get to the hospital.
Right, right. I understand.
They're so, not in any succumb or anything or anything.
Right, right. But, clearly, right. All right. Let me.
I think the idea is you have to let them go back. Otherwise, nobody's going to want to pick up anyone.
I understand. Okay, let me look more into it, and I believe that I'll get back to you. Okay, and just a reminder: tomorrow night we're doing daf at 7:20 tomorrow night. Okay, 7:20, because Rabbi Ishmach has his Shabbos Hakadol drasha at 8:15. So I'll try to do as much as the I'll try to finish it by 8:10. I'll do what I can between 7:20 and 8:10. It's just hard, you know. It's harder to do it earlier than 7:20 because I'm davening Maariv at the shul and. I don't know, I need a few minutes just to get home and get every little thing lined up with the computer and everything. But so we'll be at 7:20 tomorrow night. Okay. All right, let's take a look. All right, let's see. We're out to the next mission. Everybody with me? So we're Mem Hey Amad Aleph, 10 lines from the bottom. So Manitin, Misha Shabaderech. Now let's say a person's traveling. When a person's traveling, so he can declare his where the makom is, it could be his makom, but he also can declare a place in the distance is makom. We'll see later on the Gemara is going to have. I think it's the Daf Yomi for Shabbos. The Daf Yomi for Shabbos, which I'm going to do an hour before Mincha at the Shul. Okay, so the Daf Yomi for Shabbos, like a person could say, my Makom Shvita will be at the base of that tree. And he's, let's say he's 1,000 amot from the tree, because he said, that's my Makom Shvita. In other words, if you're a traveler, you get a dispensation to declare your Makom at a certain location. So here, Mishu Shabbaderech, he was traveling and he sits down, you know, Friday afternoon, and he says, Ba'aman v'ra'a. And then after Shabbos, he stands up and he sees, I see the city is right over there. He says, Harehu samachleir. He sees that he's near the city. Since his kavana was not to have a makom shvit in the city, he can't, means he's only limited to 2,000 amot, to the dotted line where the 2,000 amot are. So if the 2,000 amot are into the city, so then he can have a little portion of the city, but he doesn't have the whole city. You understand what I'm saying? In other words, if your makom shvita is in the city, you have the borders of the city and 2,000 amot from the city. He wasn't aware, according to the first opinion, that the city was there. Then he sees it, so that's it. He has his 2,000 amot, and if the dotted line goes to the city, that's where he's limited to. Rabbi Yehuda Omer Ikanes. Rabbi Yehuda says, look, we'll presume that he would have wanted that to be his makom shvita, and he'll acquire the makom shvita. I mean, he didn't verbalize, he didn't say anything, but we'll assume that's what he would have wanted. Am Rabbi Yehuda Masa Yavanichnas Rabbi Tarfon below Medkavim. Rabbi Yehuda says it was an incident where the Tana Rabbi Tarfon entered a city, even though he hadn't intended that the city should be his makom shvita. Let me just do the Gemara, then I'll take some questions. So the Gemara says Tana Am Rabbi Yehuda Masa Rabbi Tarfon Shemahalech Baderech. So in the Brisa, Rabbi Yehuda elaborates more on the incident. There was an incident Rabbi Tarfon was traveling, v'chashchalo, and then evening came, v'lan chutz la'ir, and then he lodged outside the city. So as far as he's aware, that's his makom shvita. He says, l'shachri mitzu roei bakar, in the morning the shepherds found him. He says, amrulo rebi harei a'ir l'fanecha, he kanis, there's a city right over there, why don't you go into the city? You'll be much more comfortable in the city for Shabbat. He says, nichna, so he Rabbi Tarfon entered the city, Shabbat Beit HaMedrash with Darash Kol Yom Kulo. And he went to the base medrash and he's darshing the whole day. So that seems like a raya that supports the Tana Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda says, we'll ascribe to him that since he would have wanted that to be his makom, so we'll give him that as the makom. That seems like what Rabbi Tarfon was doing. So Amrulo means either the Talmid or Rabbi Meir said to him, Misham Raya, is that your proof? Maybe that was his intent. Maybe that was his intent that the city should be. Or maybe the base medrash was within his 2,000 amot. So the fact that he went to the city and darshan the base medrash doesn't prove one way or the other. That could be that he's taking like Rabbi Meir and the 2,000 amot, and the 2,000 amot was beyond the base medrash. Okay, who's the question comes from something we did so far?
Rabbi Huda is saying once you get into the city, you have 2,000 amot. Within the city? What is it?
No. Rabbi Yehuda is saying that your makom shvita is in the city. Once your makom shvita is in the city, the whole city is like dalat amot. Then I have 2,000 amot. Then I have 2,000 amot from the city. The whole city is my dalat amot, and then I have 2,000 amot from, assuming the city has a wall around it. And then I have 2,000 amot from the city. Yeah. All right, let's see next. All right, let me see if I can get my picture book up now. One second, let me look. One second.
Seems to be.
Okay.
Hashem.
All right. All right. We got it. We got it. We got it. All right. All right. Let's take a look. All right. So let's take a look. Okay. The next mission. Everybody with me? Okay. Manitin. Misha Shain Bederach Velo Yadash Chashecha. Let's say a person, he fell asleep Friday afternoon at 2 o'clock and then he wakes up. It's like 2 a.m. Whatever. I don't know. He wakes up in the middle of the night. And then, so the question is, Yeshto Alpai Mama Lechol Ruach, Dibri Rabbi Yochum Nuri. Rabbi Yochum Nuri, he still has Alpai Mama. In other words, usually Alpai Mama is from the place you intend to have a Makam Shvita, your residence for Shabbos. He was out of it. He was sleeping. He didn't have come on one way or another. Yochum Nuri says he still has 2,000 Amot. If you would have woken him, that's what he would have wanted. But Chachamim Omrim Ein Lo Arba Amot. The Chachamim say, under those circumstances, he's in worse shape. He only has Dalet Amot, right? So remember, there's Machlok Tanaim what Dalet Amot means, but Dalet Amot, all right, with Dalet Amot. Now he says, Reb Lezer Omer, Vuhuba Emsan. The Tan Reb Lezer holds Dalet Amot Pshutu Kamashmao. He gets Dalet Amot, and he's in the middle of the Dalet Amot. Means he's got two Amot in each direction. So he says, Reb Yehuda Omer, Lezer Roshir Tse Yelech. Reb Yehuda says that he could be, he's not necessarily at the end of the Dalet Amot, not that it's such a big difference, but he can be at one end of the Dalet Amot and can walk Dalet Amot. In other words, according to Reb Lezer, he's got two Amot in each direction. According to Reb Yehuda, he could pick a direction and go Dalet Amot. He says, Umoda Reb Yehuda, Reb Yehuda's moda, shim birer lo, shinichu lachzorba. Once I make my election, that's my where my Dalet Amot are, I can't change. He says, Hayu shenayim mixen amotav shalzeh betok amotav shalzeh. Now let's say you have two people. They're out there, and they each have Dalet Amot, and each one, like, picks, you know, a Dalet Amot, and the two Dalet Amot overlap one another, like two Amot. He says, Mavien ba'ochlin ba'emtza. So the two of them can bring their food and eat in the overlap area. And then, let's turn page. He says, Vavaj, so it's Zem, mitok shalo, mitok shal chavero. Each one has to be careful not to carry his property into the thing that's not his tchum. Hayushto Shah, let's say there were three people out there, but I'm saying Muvla Benehem. So let me see if I can do it with this picture book now and see if we could do something with this. I don't know if these pictures were the greatest, but okay, this will have to do with us. So, all right. Okay, here's two people, and they have like a common zone together, so they can have lunch in the common zone together, but each one has to be careful not to bring food outside their zone. Then here's three people, and so two. In other words, this person has common with him, and this has got common with him. In his picture, you could have it down the middle. You could have it down the middle. In other words, so let's say this is Reuben, this is Shimon, this is Levi. So Reuben could be having common here. Levi could be in common here, and Shimon has got common with both of them. So let's take a look back in the Gemara. He says, the middle one has got with both of them. So he's mutar to have, you know, meals and stuff with each one of them. Nothing problem with that. But the two outer people, they can't bring objects to, you know, A can't bring it to C. C can't bring it to A zone. He says, Amr Reb Shimon, the Ma'adavar Zomeh. So Reb Shimon says, what is it similar to? L'shtosh chatserot ptuchot zu l'zu. It doesn't have such good pictures with this. It's like three chatserot. Each chatser opens up to the other chatser. Uptuchot l'rishut harabim. And they're open to rishut harabim. Irvu shtayim im himtsa'id. In other words, you have chatser aleph, chatser beis, chatser gimel. So chatser aleph, beis, and gimel are all connected one with another. Aleph with beis and beis with gimel. So he says, irvu shtayim im himtsa'id. If Aleph and Gimel make a Ruvei Chatzerot with the middle one in the middle, Beis, Himu Tardi Mahen, so Beis is allowed to carry with each one of them, Vehemu Tardi Ima, and Aleph and Gimel are allowed to carry with Beis, Shtayim Achitzon Asur and Subzu, but I can't carry from Aleph to Gimel or from Gimel to Aleph because they don't have an Erev together. All right, let's just go over and review what we did. So the basic idea, we said that if a person's traveling, he normally gets his makom shvita. He normally gets 2,000 amot. But let's say a person had zero kavana. He was sleeping, and he was totally out of it. He wasn't at all conscious when normally you're koneh your makom shvita right before Shabbos and Yontiv, and then that's nicknamed for you for the whole Shabbos. But let's say you totally were unaware of it. So notwithstanding that, Rabbi Yochanan Nuri says you still get 2,000 amot, and we'll see more in the Gemara on that. And the Tana Rabbi Yehuda and the Tana Rabbi Yehuda says the Chachamim say you only get dalet amot. Then you're out of it. You get only dalet amot, and then we spoke about the dalet amot and how that works. And are you in the middle of dalet amot, so you have two amot in each direction, or are you at the end of the dalet amot and you get four amot in a direction? And then you can have a couple of people where they have overlap with one another, and then you know each the property is also limited with the tchum, and they can play around with that way as well. Okay, who's got questions, comments, or anything we did on the Mishnah? All right, let me go into the Gemara. Okay, I think the Gemara will help clarify the Mishnah. Okay, let's take a look. So we're on Mem Hamad Beis, and first on the Gemara. Gemara, by Rabbi.
Would Rabbi Eliezer agree to the overlap cases?
So with Reb Lezer, it's harder to have the overlap. In other words,
it has to be closer to each other.
Closer, but he otherwise he would agree with
it. Agree.
Okay. All right, let's take a look back at the Gemara. So the Gemara says, by Rava, Mike Sabra, Rabbi Yochanan Nuri. Rabbi Yochanan Nuri says you get the 2,000 amot even if you're, you know, sleeping. So what does he hold? Misra Kasabar, Chefsei Hefker, Konan Shvita, Uvdinu Lufalok B'Kelim. So is it that he holds Chefsei Hefker or Konan Shvita? In other words, a person's property normally gets his Tchum Shabbos. Let's say something's Hefker, ownerless. So does that get 2,000 amot? There's an ownerless object, and I want to pick it up and move it on Shabbos. So does it get a makom shvita? Does it have its own 2,000 amot? You know, so let's say, you know, I traveled 2,000 amot to get here, whatever, and now, or you come up with you, Kim, to let's say, right. So
you travel 1,500 amot and you found something on the street.
Right. So
can you bring it back home with you?
Well, right. That would be good. Right. So, well, or could I bring it 2,000 amot in the other direction? In other words, maybe they have their own. Maybe the Chefza has its own, you know, makom only 2,000 amot. So if the Chefza was like in your example, like 1,800 amot to the east of the city, and but you have to come with an okimta where you can carry and things like that. But
you have to have an Eruv there.
You know, like we'd have to have it with an Eruv, right? But can I now carry it? Let's say, you know, 2,000 amot to the west of my where I live, because it was Konah Shvita where it is. So he says, Chefsei Hefker Konah Shvita. So he holds even things that are Hefker Konah Shvita. So certainly a person would be Konah Shvita. He says Uvdinu Lufalok B'Kelim. So really he should have the Machloket by Kelim, by inanimate objects. This is what the Mishnah should teach me. V'hatikam Ifliki Ba'Adam. The fact that the Mishnah teach me Machloket by a person, Udiyicha Kochan D'Rabbanan, tell me the stringency of the Chachamim who say you're limited to Dalet Amot. The Afagav, the Ichlamim are whole, Vene or Kana, Yashinamikana. I would think, look, the person is sleeping, but if you wake him up, he would know and he would want things. And notwithstanding that, the Chachamim say he's limited to Dalet Amot, so Kamashmalan Delo. So there's as far to say that a person would always get 2,000 Amot, but the Chachamim don't hold that way. So maybe that's the Chiddush he wants to teach me. But really, this Machloket even relates to objects, and that's the main machloket. If something's hefker, there's a kona shvita. So according to Rabbi Yochanan Nuri, chefsei hefker would be kona and makom shvita. And according to Chachamim, they would not be kona shvita, and they'd be limited to dalet amot because they don't have a shvita. O dilma, some Rabbi Yochanan Nuri ba'alma chefsei hefker ain't kona shvita. Or maybe even Rabbi Yochanan Nuri holds that chefsei hefker are not kona shvita. V'hacha enu taima, and here the reason he says you get 2,000 amot, hol v'nei yurkana yashin namikana. In other words, maybe everybody agrees that Chefsei Hefker are not Kona Shvita, if it's an ownerless object. But the fact that the person gets 2,000 amot is if you would wake him up, he would know he's not like an inanimate object. An inanimate object can't speak, can't talk. But a person, you wake him up, he knows it's with him. And of course, he would want 2,000 amot. So the question is, what does Rabbi Yochanan and Nuri hold by Chefsei Hefker? By the person, for sure, he holds, he gets 2,000 amot. Is that a corollary of his view about Chefsei Hefker, and certainly a person gets it? Or no, Chefsei Hefker he holds don't get 2,000 amot, but a person, since he's a sapient being, he gets 2,000 amot. Okay, that's the question. All right, so let's see further. So the Gemara says, Amar of Yosef Tashma. So if Yosef tries to bring a proof from the following Braisa, the Braisa says, Shamim Sher Dume Erev Yom Tov, rain that rained on Erev Yontiv, So rain is an ownerless object. When it rains, it's not owned by anybody. He says, Yeshlem alpayim amalachu ruach. So the Tana of the Brisa says that the rain that fell on Erev Yontiv is limited to a tchum, and it gets 2,000 amot in every direction. So that sounds like chefse hefker or kona shvita, right? That is hefker, it's konma kona shvita. The Yontiv, but if the rain fell on Yontiv, harehein karaglei kol adam. They're like, they get the makam shvita, the person who acquires them. That's what the Brisa is saying. Because they weren't kona shvita going into Yontiv, they get the shvita, the person who like draws the water or whatever. So Yam Rabbi Shlaim Ksav Rabbi Yochum Nuri Chepsei Hefker Konen Shvita. So if you say that indeed Rabbi Yochum Nuri holds that Chepsei Hefker Konen Shvita, they get 2,000 amot. Hamani Rabbi Yochanan he. So then the Brisa goes like Rabbi Yochanan. So fine, we understand the machloket. And the Tana Kama, the Tana of this Brisa holds that Chepsei Hefker Konen Shvita, and that represents the opinion of Rabbi Yochum Nuri. Eli Yam Chepsei Hefker Ain Konen Shvita. But if you say that Rabbi Yochum Nuri holds that Chepsei Hefker not Konen Shvita, Hamani. So who's the Brisa going to be like? It says that the rainwater gets 2,000 amo. Lo Rabbi Yochanan, lo Rabbana. It's not like either one. So from the fact that the Brisa articulates the position that you do get 2,000 amo, we think that corroborates the idea that there is an opinion that holds a chepsei hefker kona shvita, and we think that would be like the opinion of Rabbi Yochanan Nuri. That's who it is. That's what we think. So the Gemara says, Yatev Abaye Bekamar La HaShmaita. So Abaye was seated and singing over this whole shmooze from Rav Yosef, the whole raya from the Brisa. So Amali Rav Safra Labaye. So Rav Safra said to Abaye, "Bedilma b'gshamim mesmuchim liyiraskinan v'anshei otahir datam ilayhu." Maybe it's talking about rain that fell near a city, and the people, the townsfolk, they have in mind to be kona that rainwater, and maybe that's why it has 2,000 amot. So it's 2,000 amot from the city, not to the chepsei hefker. Indeed, chepsei hefker of no dalpai mam. He didn't prove anything from the Brisa. So Abaye Amar Lai Lo Salkadaitak. Abaye says, I don't think that would be the Peshat in the Brisa, because I'm going to prove from a different Brisa, there's definitely a sheet that holds the Chepsei Hefker Kona Shvita. He says, did not, because we're in Mishnah. We learned the Mishnah in Masechet Beya.
Can you slow down, though? You're going too fast. I like that.
All right. Do you have the Brisa? Yosef?
Yes, I'm here.
Do you have the Brisa, what we did up till now?
I got the Brisa, but I lost if we hold Rabbi Yochanan does not hold. It does.
Okay. So again, we said the Brisa seems to say that rainwater that falls before Yontiv gets 2,000 amot.
Right.
So the rainwater is Hefker. So that would mean that Chepsei Hefker Kona Shvita.
Yes.
And we think that would be like Rabbi Yochanan Nuri.
Okay.
So then Abaye was repeating this over, and Rav Safra said, maybe there's a different pshat I could say in the Brisa. I could say that the rainwater was falling near a town, and the people in town, their mind, their idea is to kona the rainwater for the town, whatever, and that the rainwater should have the makam shvita of the town. It's not a case of chepsei hefker. The people in the town intended to acquire it, then you don't have a proof. So then Abaye says, well, I could definitely prove that there's an opinion that holds the chepsei hefker kona shvita. So the Gemara says, Ditnan, Bor Shel Yachid Kareg Lo Yachid. If there's a bor, a cistern that belongs to an individual, it has, so the water has the tchum of the owner of that cistern. Vishlo Tahir, if it's a municipal well or cistern, I should say, so then it has the makam shvita to the people in town. Then it says, Vishlo Tahir, Kareg Lo Tahir. Shall Ole Bavel are the people traveling from Bavel to Eretz Israel. Like, so he says, Kiragle Hamamale, they get the tchum of the person who picks up the water. So the person who draws that water, whatever tchum he had, that they get, the water gets that way. That sounds like that the Chepsei Hefker are not Kona Shvita. In other words, they're getting the Makam Shvita of the person who draws it. But Tanya, but we learn in a different Brisa, Bor Shel Shvatim. Bor Shel Shvatim is the same as the bor of the Ole Babel. Yishlam Apayim Amalach Ruach. They have 2,000 amot. So I have one price that says the bor for the Ole Babel gets the tchum of the person who draws the water. And the other price that says they get 2,000 amot from where they're located. So that's, the Gemara says Kashan Adani. So the two, the price and the Mishnah, contradict one another. Elav Shvamina. Is it not that the second Brisa that holds that they get 2,000 amot, that's following Rabbi Yochanan Nuri, who calls Chepsei Hefker are Kona Shvita. And the other one that says to get the Makom Shvita, the one who drew it, HaRabbanan, that's like the Chachamim. So Abaye proves to Rav Safra, there's definitely an opinion that holds that Chepsei Hefker or Kona Shvita. Kiat l'kami to Rav Yosef, when Abaye, Rav Yosef was his Rebbe. So when Abaye came back to Rav Yosef, he says, Amar le hachi kamar Rav Safra, he said, I was repeating over your shtickel Torah, Rebbe, about the proof from the earlier Bryce about the rainwater having 2,000 amot. Bahachi and Rav Safra said to me, maybe that the townspeople intended to be Kona, and that's why it's 2,000 amot. Bahachi Adrile. And then I responded to him with the Mishnah and the other Bryce, about the boar. So he says, Amar Leis, Rav Yosef said to him, Vamailo Temele Migufa. Why didn't you respond from the words of the Bryce itself? You could have slugged them up. If you'll assume, like you, Rav Safra, assume that it's talking about rainwater that fell near the city, and the people in the city have an intent to acquire the rainwater, so the Bryce wouldn't have said that it has 2,000 amot in every direction. The Bryce would have said that the water gets like the status of the townspeople. That's what the Bryce would have said. So since the Bryce says the water gets 2,000 amot in each direction, that's also, seems to corroborate the idea that Chepsei Hefker or Kona Shvita. All right, let's go over again and then we'll move on. Okay, so the basic idea we learned, again, we had in the Mishnah that if a person fell asleep going into Shabbos and then he wakes up, there's a machloket between Rabbi Yochum and Nuri and the Chachamim, whether he gets 2,000 amot or not. So we weren't sure what Rabbi Yochanan and Nuri holds. So either he holds that Chepsei Hefker or Kona Shvita, and if Chepsei Hefker or Kona Shvita, certainly a person is Kona Shvita. That's one way to understand it. Or maybe he holds that Chepsei Hefker are not Kona Shvita, but only by a person who's a sapient being, who when you wake him up, he'd say, yeah, this is my Makom Shvita, so he gets 2,000 amot, not Chepsei Hefker. So Gemara ends up saying, no, it must be that he holds Chepsei Hefker Kona Shvita, because otherwise we couldn't explain this Brysa. And the Gemara quoted a Brysa, and the Brysa had to do with the rainwater. If the rainwater falls on Erev Yontiv, it gets 2,000 amot, and the rainwater is, the paradigm of ownerless objects. So it gets 2,000 amot, so it must be that's like Rabbi Yochanan and Nuri. All right, whose question comes to anything we did so far? All right, I'm going to move on. Everybody looking really serious here these days. We're looking very serious here. All right, let's go on. We're at the two dots. We're around 10 lines to the bottom. Everybody with me? Okay. Now, we mentioned in the Braisa, Amar Mar, B'yom Tov Rein Karaglei Kol Adam. When a person draws the water, if the rainwater, in the first Braisa, if the rainwater fell on Yontiv, so then the rainwater gets the tchum of whoever draws the water. So in other words, I have a cistern, there's a big mabul on Yontiv, now people draw water from the cistern, and it's the municipal cistern, so it's like whatever the person's status, whatever his tchum is, that's the rainwater will get that tchum. So the Gemara says, "Biyamai likni shvita." I'm sorry, Amar biyom to rain correctly called down. "Biyamai likni shvita b'okianos." Why don't they have the status of where they were going into Yontiv? That we assume the Gemara assumes the rainwater was in the ocean, and before it evaporated. So the rainwater was in the ocean. Why don't we say that the makom shvita is out of the ocean? And now maybe it's more than 2,000 amot away. Now it's limited to dalat amot. Why is it getting like it doesn't have a makom shvita? Now it's getting correctly kol adam. It should be limited. So lema d'loka Reb Lezer. Should we say that this brisa does not accord with the Tana Reb Lezer? D'ikra Reb Lezer ha'amar kulam kulam imei okeanos ushota. Tana Reb Lezer says that everybody, it depends on the water of the okeanos. Okeanos is the word ocean. It's just, it's like the sea is, make it a hard sea and you get it. So okeanos. So the Gemara says, Amr b'Yitzchak, hacha ba'avim, shinit kashru me'er of Yom Tov askinan. So the Gemara says, no. Here we're talking about where the rain clouds had formed before Yontiv. So the water was not in the ocean before Yontiv. The water was in the rain clouds before Yontiv. So it wasn't Kona Shvita in the ocean. So the Gemara says, "Vadilma hanach azli hanach achrini ninu." So the Gemara says, "Well, maybe the rain clouds you saw before Yontiv they went away. Now these are other rain clouds." So the Gemara says, "Didlahu simana begavayu." No, he had a siman. He saw like the form of the cloud. That's my rain cloud. Vibaynema habispektiv rain, or else I could say it's a safek, whether it was in the ocean or in the clouds. And b'meila, I can be told that it was in the clouds, and there's no tchum. So the Gemara says, "Safek tivrim lahakil." So the Gemara says, "V'luktan shvita ba'avim." So let's say the rainwater is in the clouds. So why don't I say that it's makom shvita is in the clouds? So it's in the high, but that's the makom shvita. Why is it that it gets them? In other words, normally you get your makom shvita going into Yantiv. Why don't we say it was in the clouds, and that's the makom shvita? Now, if it's more than 2,000 amot away, even though it's by height, so it's limited to dalan amot. So he says, "Tifshot mina dein tchumin lamala me'asar." So from this Gemara, l'chora, we should be able to determine, which was a question we had earlier in the Gemara, are there tchumin above 10 tfachim from the ground? So the sugi works a lot better if you, according to the Tana of the Brisa, if you said there are no tchumin above 10 tfachim, so then it was like in a nowhere zone, and now it's back on earth. So the yesh tchumin l'tnei shvita ba'avim, because if there are tchumin, so the makom shvita should be in the clouds, and then it shouldn't be able to kona the shvita, the makom shvita of whoever draws the water. So where's the lakish tchumin? I could say no. There are tchumin even the malam me'asar tfachim. I could say that. He says umaya be'iva mivla bli, but the water in the clouds is not considered yet to be in existence. It's absorbed in the clouds. It's like vapor, you know. It doesn't exist yet. So it's like somebody, you know, has not yet come into existence in the world. So it doesn't get a makom shvita. So the Gemara says on the top line of Mevav and Aleph. So if the water does not yet exist, kolshkein da'avulu nola da'asir. If it doesn't exist, that makes the case worse. Now it's nolad on Yantiv, and nolad, you know, is muksa. So nobody could draw the water. That's not helping us. So elam maya ba'avi made a 90. In other words, you know, the water does exist in the clouds, but it's constantly moving. So it's constantly moving. It's not kona a shvita. Since it's constantly in motion, it's not kona a makam shvita for Yantiv. He says, Hashta to the Hachi. Now that you came to this idea, the water in the clouds is constantly moving, doesn't get a makam shvita. Okianis nami lo lik shulach. So then you don't have any question, maybe the water was at the ocean. So he said, well, he saw the rain clouds before Yantiv was in the sky. Even if it was in the ocean ahead of time, he says, Maya ba okianis nami made an idea. The water in the ocean is also constantly moving. So the water does not get a makam shvita before Shabbos and before Yantiv because it's constantly in motion. He says, Vitania, we learn in the Brisa that corroborates this. Now, wrote a Moshe in Mayan Ovim that the gushing rivers and the flowing rivers and the gushing springs are rain kregle kol adam. They get the tchum of the person who draws it because they don't have a tchum going into Shabbos because they're constantly in motion. So the so this was talking about the status. Just one second. This was talking about the status of the rainwater. And the Gemara wanted to know, the Brisa said, if it rains on Yantiv, so the rainwater gets a tchum of whoever draws the water. So he said, well, why is it not have a tchum? It existed somewhere in the world beforehand. So at the end, the Gemara is saying that even if the rain exists, whether it's in the clouds or in the ocean, since it's constantly in motion, it's not makona makom shvita. In other words, to get a makom shvita, you have to be stationary. It's constantly in motion, so it doesn't get a makom shvita. So therefore, the person who picks it up, so it gets his makom shvita, he gets his shvita. Okay, whose request comes with anything we did?
Well, rainwater isn't always moving.
We're in the ocean, the Gemara takes it, the water is constantly moving.
No, that's true. But I'm saying the rainwater, if it goes into a cistern.
No. That's not what we're talking about.
Okay, talking about lakes, rivers.
No. On Friday night, or Leil Yantiv, was it in motion or was it moving? So in order to be Kona Makom Shvita, it has to be static. So let's say it rains on Yantiv. So the question is, why doesn't it have its Makom Shvita that it had going into Yantiv? So the Gemara said, going into Yantiv, either it's in the ocean, it's constantly moving, or it's in the cloud, it's constantly moving. That's what I'm saying. So then it rains on the earth. Yeah, now it's here. The truth is, if you see the motion, it's probably moving here on earth also. But it doesn't have a makom shvita already, and therefore it gets the tchum of the person who draws the water. Is that good or not?
Good enough.
All right. Any other questions, comments, or thoughts? Everybody good? Okay, let me end the recording. One second. Let me do it. All right, one second.